Jeez, how's that? Better get my glasses out. All right, at this time, the full board meeting is convened. I will call the meeting to order and ask the secretary to call the roll, please.
Scholar?
Here.
Britton?
Here.
Gilbert?
Here.
Lockett?
Here.
Portwood?
Here.
Ryan? Samborski?
Here.
Thomas?
Here.
And Smith?
Here.
A quorum is established.
Is there a motion to allow Trustee Marsha Ryan to join the meeting via phone?
Madam Chair, point of order.
Yes.
We have had efforts here, and I appreciate the expenditure we're making for a consultant to discuss processes and procedures. And before we move forward to the motion, I would point out that according to our bylaws, trustees must be either ill, involved in employment business, or family emergency in order to phone in. So if we have that criteria, then we would allow a vote to move forward for Trustee Ryan. If not, a motion would be out of order if those conditions are not met according to our bylaws.
I'm going to turn to you, Luke.
That's correct. And those mirror the Open Meetings Act exceptions as well.
I mean, I don't like anecdotal stories personally, but I've missed three meetings in 6 years. And on two of those meetings, I was ill, and I was in an employment pursuit out of state. And one meeting, I chose to go to visit my grandchildren, and so I did not ask to call in. So I think we need to, per our discussions moving forward, procedure and process, we have bylaws, and we should follow them.
Any further discussion on this matter?
Do we not know that she's ill?
I don't know. Misty, do you?
I don't know.
Well, that's to Misty. Says that the person should notify the executive secretary of illness. I mean, if she was ill, she was ill 2 weeks ago when she emailed.
I don't know her reason
So a motion would be out of order, essentially.
Although if I recall, we've done it before. I think, didn't Dr. Ryan phone in when we were in Springfield and there was a motion and it was approved?
We have.
So it's been done before.
It has.
It would seem to me that it's a good idea to follow our bylaws. And in a number of instances, we have, and I think we should adhere more closely to them.
I think if Dr. Ryan would have been given the warning that she would not be able to participate from afar, should she not be sick, I think she would have hopped on a plane and been here. And I think it's a little interesting that it's being brought up 3 minutes before the meeting. And we've never had this discussion before.
I'm going to defer to our general counsel.
So those are the three exceptions that are allowed in the bylaws, and those mirror the Open Meetings Act exceptions for someone not being physically present. She would be allowed to, as a public meeting, she's allowed to listen in that respect, but in terms of being able to participate for motions and votes and that sort of thing, it would be outside the parameters of the bylaws.
Is it possible to call her? To check it, because if no one knows, then it could be one of those three things. Can we call her and find out? Is that out of the bylaws?
That can be ascertained.
So I would ask that Misty do that, though, separately. Mm-hmm. So let's take a brief recess so that Misty can make the phone call. Misty has made a phone call, and it's my understanding that Dr. Ryan is away on business. That was the terminology.
Out of state.
Out of state.
Right.
And I've asked Luke to give us an opinion then.
So one of the three exceptions are employment purposes or the business of the public body. So if she's there on business for employment purposes, that would fall under that exception.
Right. So under those circumstances, do I have a motion and a second to allow Trustee Marsha Ryan to join the meeting via phone?
So moved.
Seconded.
All right. Is that a roll call vote then, Misty? Or is that a...
It's a voice vote.
Okay, a voice vote then, please. All those in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Dr. Ryan will be allowed then to join us via phone. So if you want to bring her in.
Dr. Ryan, it's Misty with your conference call.
We're in the board meeting.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. All right, we're going to move on. There will be a public questions and comments portion available at today's meeting. We're allowing 3 minutes per speaker for a total of 15 minutes. Madam Secretary, do we have any speakers?
We do. Our first speaker is Clay Awesome.
All right, is Clay here? We'll let you speak from there, I think, would make the most sense.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to speak to you today. As the president of the Graduate and Professional Student Council here at Carbondale, students I represent see the current moment as one of an opportunity for our ongoing efforts to improve our university and to pursue a greater scope of the ways and means to do so. This in mind, an immediate recommendation I wish to make. We encourage trustees to make a commitment and ensure the selection of an interim chancellor for Carbondale is equally committed to center our efforts on students. Students' experiences, well-being, needs, and achievement, the recognition, inclusion, partnership, and stakeholdership of students. Each of these elements centering on our efforts on students as the measure and means to successfully improving SIU Carbondale, a maxim for the execution of the university's mission. Student achievement is commonly cited as a measure of success, academic accomplishments, graduation rates, retention rates, and enrollment. Less common, however, is a frank discussion of students as the essential means to success of a university. Great programs, engaging classes, intellectual innovation, vibrant campus as a place to live, full of meaningful and enjoyable experiences, opportunities, and friendships. None of these are possible without students as the essential and primary means. If students are too stressed out, overworked, underserved, disrespected, unappreciated, whatever it may be, the needs of students go unmet, we all fail. The university, its leadership, its faculty. Simply put, the university can be a great place to work, have a balanced budget, and all of it by all appearances function smoothly, meeting the needs of its non-student stakeholders. But if it doesn't work for students, if it doesn't meet their needs, it doesn't matter. The university will not excel. Carbondale's interim chancellor must take this maxim to heart, that student health, well-being, experience, vitality, and achievements are what will drive the university's success. Students as a measure and means to success. Our concern, attention, must center on whether the university delivers circumstances, resources, support, experiences, and opportunities allow for students to provide that means. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Our next speaker is David Johnson.
Hi, I'm David Johnson, president of the SIUC Faculty Association. In the weeks since Chancellor Montemagno's untimely death, many have said that we should carry on where he left off, especially on the front of restructuring. But it's worth noting that even before the chancellor's death, the restructuring process was controversial and that it was more or less stuck. Roughly one-third of the proposed schools have been approved by faculty, one-third have been rejected by faculty, and the last third have yet to come to a vote because they too lack faculty support. Faculty do not know when or even whether we will find ourselves, voluntarily or involuntarily, in a new school, nor do we know what our college structure will look like. So SIUC does not only have interim leaders, we have an interim structure. We are paying people tens of thousands of dollars to head units that could be eliminated at any time. We are an interim university facing an enrollment crisis. There is, however, an easy way to end this confusion and conflict. Adopt those proposed schools that faculty and students support. They will be a major positive legacy for Chancellor Montemagno. But do not try to force through schools that faculty and students reject. In those areas, support faculty alternatives and redesign our college structure to house the new schools and those departments that are to remain as departments. If this sounds like old advice, it is. We in the FA have been saying this for over a year. SIUC cannot finish restructuring at once, but we can immediately put an end to much of the confusion, uncertainty, and contention simply by committing to wrapping up restructuring in this efficient, positive, collaborative manner. And then we can turn together to address the enrollment crisis head on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Kathleen Schwalas.
Kathleen, you can stay there if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak to you today. The sudden loss of Chancellor Montemagno has left us reeling, grieving not only for the loss of the man, which is profound, but also the feared loss of what we had imagined SIU Carbondale could become through his vision. I would like to thank President Dorsey for his efforts to provide stability and comfort during these difficult times. We've appreciated the steady, thoughtful leadership that you have demonstrated in this crisis. Although we appreciate the President's continued verbal support for reorganization, it is now time for formal support from the Board of Trustees. As a member of the Reorganization Review Committee, I can speak to the fact, as Dr. Johnson said, about a third of the proposals have been approved, a third were rejected but sent back for revisions, and the faculty and administration are working on that process as we speak. And there are also a number of proposals that are faculty-driven and are being developed also as we speak. So the process is ongoing. The Faculty Senate Executive Council recently forwarded a resolution requesting a formal endorsement of the SIUC reorganization concept, the concept of reorganization. We're still working on how that's actually going to look. This endorsement is needed for the campus to seek IBHE review of the RMEs that have been approved so far. We're basically in a holding pattern. Many faculty, staff, and students have been waiting for months, anxious to get started forging those new relationships and actualizing the possibilities of the new schools and the ideas and programs that we've been working on, and advertising those for prospective students. Your endorsement would be a much-needed show of support and a necessary step for this new vision of SIUC to move forward. Let us celebrate and promote the strengths of the SIU campuses, lifting all boats. Carbondale's strength is its research mission. Carlo Montemagno recognized our strength despite the challenges we face and saw how we could capitalize on our existing resources to grow and propel SIUC into the future. He was proud of our research and excited about our potential. Imagine the stark contrast of recent messages that we should keep our research light under a basket. A message that is particularly discouraging in this time when we are stretched and grieving, yet still working so hard for our students on our research and creative activity and working to rebuild and revitalize our institution. As you think about interim leadership for the Carbondale campus, please choose someone that can really see SIU Carbondale and appreciate our mission and what we bring to the system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next speaker is Brett Safarian.
Here.
That's fine. Thank you.
My name is Brett Safarian. I'm actually speaking today on behalf of the Graduate Assistants United. Right now, it is unclear if the board intends to do a search for a new chancellor that involves campus or if they're simply intending to put someone in without any input from campus. I am here to tell the board that it needs to give the Saluki community the opportunity to provide input on the candidates. Students need to be included. All of the campus community needs to be included. I have been in numerous student government meetings, and I've heard students talking about feeling cut out and lacking faith in the powers that be. It's not a secret to anybody that it's been a rocky time lately. Trust in the administration and trust in the Board of Trustees is not high. How the Board of Trustees handles this search will either start healing those fractures or will exacerbate them. My understanding is the plan is to have the next interim chancellor serve through a search for a new permanent president and then through a search for a new permanent chancellor. That could be as long as 2 years. For a campus in transition, that's a very long time. Whoever the interim chancellor you select is going to have a lasting legacy on this campus. There's no way they won't. And how that person is hired is going to have a profound effect on how that person is received. If the Bureau of Trustees just slide somebody in without soliciting any input from campus, no matter who the next chancellor is, that person is going to start with a strike against him. It could be Abraham Lincoln, and there would be a strike against him for the process. fairly or not, that's just the truth. So SAU does not need that. So I call on the board to make the right decision and give the campus an opportunity to provide input on any potential interim chancellor candidates. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our last speaker is Anthony Travelstead.
Morning, Madam Chair, and honored members of the board. I'm Anthony Travelstead. I'm the president of the Civil Service Council here on the Carbondale campus. Our Carbondale campus has suffered yet another substantial loss in the passing of Chancellor Montemagno at a time of rebuilding, rebranding, and reinvigoration of our university. Many steps have been made along a path to move the university forward to meet the needs of our current and future students and staff. Chancellor Montemagno chose to lead this campus by taking us not on the short, easy path, but on a long, difficult, and to many, a scary path, with its steep winding course and fast ascent, riddled with many hard obstacles that we, as a university community, have overcome. Our university cannot afford to spend the next 2 years or so stationary, waiting for someone permanent to lead us. As the regents of our system, I implore you to quickly choose an interim chancellor who will continue to move us forward, one who will challenge us to strive ahead, one who will lead and inspire on a difficult path to come. You have a difficult job ahead of you. I ask that you do not forget that your decisions impact the many thousands of aspiring students and hardworking faculty and staff, along with our surrounding communities. Please choose us a leader. Thank you.
I would like to make one comment in response to Dr. Schwales and Dr. Johnson. I think you actually both agreed on something. I think you both agreed on the fact that there are various RMEs that are agreed to and that should come before this board for a vote. Just to let you all know, and Kevin, Dr. Dorsey, jump in, I believe that those will be coming before us in December. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Remember, this is a special meeting, an emergency meeting. Those issues they're not going away. They will be on the agenda. They were going to be on the agenda, but obviously more pressing issues came up. All right? So I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Can I say, if there's an agreement and, you know, time is of the essence for these schools, why couldn't we send those the blueprint up to the IBHE along with those RMEs before December?
I'm going to let Kevin address that.
And what I don't know, I'm going to turf to Mira, who can maybe give me a more full explanation. The IBHE has been contacted and had a discussion regarding the overall blueprint. They would like to see that, and that's what we need to see at the board here. They don't want to get RME by RME, a piecemeal approach, 60 little pieces of a puzzle. I think they want a more global view of this. And, you know, as we heard, we've got one-third in the bank, one-third on the road, and one-third maybe not moving anywhere. And so I think we've got to be deliberate, but with all due speed, I think.
All right. It's going to be on the agenda, folks. We're talking right after Thanksgiving. No one is stalling. We're trying to do this in an effort that makes the most sense and is, I think, deliberate is the word that you used. So I'd like to move forward on this agenda, if we may. At this point in time, the next item on the agenda is to affirm the SIU president to fulfill the SIUC chancellor student. I wish that the board did not have to undertake this matter. As we all know, the university recently lost Chancellor Montemagno. The university as a whole, including the Board of Trustees, is working to find a balance between the loss felt with his unexpected passing and the work that continues to advance forward, due in large part to the dedication and the focus of the chancellor. To help SIU Carbondale maintain the momentum that Dr. Montemagno attained, President Dorsey has been assuming the SIUC chancellor responsibilities for the short term and will continue to do so until an interim chancellor is named soon. As such, is there a motion to affirm that President Dorsey shall continue to fulfill the SIUC chancellor duties?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All right, seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Scholar.
Yes.
Britton.
Yes.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Lockett.
Yes.
Portwood.
Yes.
Ryan.
Yes.
Samborski.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
All right. The matter passes. The president will be serving as the interim chancellor until an interim chancellor is, in fact, appointed. All right. The next item, then, for discussion is the selection of the SIUC interim chancellor and the process, and I'm going to direct that to President Dorsey as well.
So as I've told multiple constituencies and groups around the campus, is I see the order of events as follows. We need to choose an interim chancellor as soon as possible, as far as I'm concerned. This would be followed by the search for a permanent president, followed by the search for a permanent chancellor. I think any potential chancellor who is wise would want to know who they're working for and with, and so that would, to me, dictate the order of events. If that's true, then as was stated earlier, the interim chancellor position is likely to be occupied for a period of 18 to 24 months. A president search, which I suspect will start forthwith, if not today. The best case scenario, I think, would be to have a seated president by the start of the next academic year, no later than August of 19. I think that's doable if everything works out right. It's a bit ambitious and could get scuttled, but I have every reason to think we could make it happen. So what I would be looking for in an interim chancellor would be someone who could move in relatively quickly. I am not eager to wear two hats. And there needs to be somebody physically present, I think, on this campus 24/7, as opposed to my flying in, being here for a couple days, and flying out. I think the person should be experienced at the chancellor, at or near the chancellor level. It should be a person acceptable to faculty, students, myself, and you, the board. Be willing to serve a period of not 3 or 4 months, but what could be a fairly protracted 18 to 24-month period. And in all likelihood, and this would be at the board's discretion, probably be a person who is not a candidate for the permanent position. In my conversations with some of the campus leadership, a common theme that I heard, maybe not vocalized specifically, was that they would hope this person would be someone who could unite the folks, not only on this campus, but also in the entire system. So those are the characteristics that I would be looking for. It seems like we have two major pathways to follow. One could be external candidates. There are search firms that can go out and find temporary placements, and they can do this on a relatively rapid turnaround basis. We could probably have lists of names within a couple weeks at most, and start an interview process after that. For an external candidate, the advantage would be that the person would be, I would assume, completely objective, not bring any biases except what they may have Googled or read in the papers. And then the other option would be internal candidates, people who know the campus, could hit the ground running, have experience. And the downside of that would be that they could bring their biases, perceived or otherwise. So you'd be trading off speed in getting up to speed and versus potential bias. So those are the two, I think, major paths. We could choose one of the two major paths and play that out. I have asked for in open forums that I've attended that people submit names. I have a list of probably, I think it's about 16 or so names that I've received from around the campus of internal candidates that we can discuss later in closed session.
All right. With that being said, I think it would be appropriate at this point in time that we move to closed session.
Question.
Yes.
President Dorsey, will there be a formalized way of getting input from the campus constituencies as we've heard right here?
Yeah, I mean, I think once we decide on a person, I think it would be wise to get that name out, and recognizing that I don't think any candidate is going to be acceptable to everybody. And so how do we do this without, it's not, there's not a formal vote being taken on the campus.
Okay.
And so what do you do? Do you just say the loudest voice wins? Or you just listen to the input, and if there are damning things from some quarters, then that may be reason to reconsider.
Yes.
I just, on public record, I would say, I am saying that I will do my best job to make sure the students' voices are heard for all of this. I think that's crucial, and kind of put my money where my mouth is on a lot of these recommendations.
And obviously that's the role of the student trustee, and we know that both of our student trustees are going to do a good job of upholding that. So, all right. So at this time, do I have a motion to go into closed session?
Can I have?
Sure. Can someone read it?
Would you like to read that?
Sure. I move to close the meeting to the public for the purpose of considering pending, probable, or imminent court proceedings against or on behalf of the board, appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees, and meetings between internal or external auditors and governmental audit committees, finance committees, and their equivalents. The relevant sections of the Open Meetings Act statute that allow for the closed session are 5 Illinois ILCS 120 over 2, C-1-1129.
All right. We're moving into close, folks. We're going to take a vote on that, so we'll ask everyone to go ahead and leave, and then we'll come back into open after closed session. We'll take the roll call.
Do we have a second?
I second that.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. And a roll call there. I'm trying to...
Move it along.
Yeah.
Solar?
Aye.
Britton?
Aye.
Gilbert?
Aye.
Lockett?
Aye.
Portwood?
Aye.
Ryan?
Aye.
Samborski?
Aye.
Thomas?
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Do we want to... Agenda is the selection of the search firm for the presidential search. Could I please have a motion?
So moved.
Well, hold on. let me tell you what motion I'd like to have. I'd like to have a motion to select Whit Kiefer as the presidential search firm, and to authorize the interim president to take whatever steps may be required in execution of this action and in accordance with established policies and procedures. Mr. Britton?
So moved.
Seconded.
All right. Roll call.
Scheller?
Yes.
Britton?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Lockett?
Yes.
Portwood?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Samborski?
Yes.
Thomas?
Yes.
All right. That motion has passed, and the president is so authorized. At this time, may I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All right. Motion is adjourned. Next regularly scheduled meeting is December. December
13th.
All right. All right. Thank you very much.
December 13th.
Uh-huh. Were you looking at two?